Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 17, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
The feet, of course, in the historic view, the feet is the end time kingdom, the kingdom of the 10 kings that's going to rule during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And it smote the kingdom upon its feet. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together. Notice that in the end time, the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and gold will be broken in pieces together. Now that's not an end time view. That's not a historic view. That's an end time view. And what he's saying is all these kingdoms are going to be destroyed by the saints, the kingdom of God, in the end time. They're going to break it in pieces. We'll look at that too. Well, you know, these kingdoms are still with us. Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. No kingdom ever really passes away. Their seed just multiplies after that and keeps on multiplying and covering the earth. So actually we have all these kingdoms in the last days kingdom. And we'll look at that too. Verse 44. And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That definitely shows an end time view, because all these kingdoms are now gathered together in one kingdom. All seven heads and all 10 horns is just in one kingdom, and that kingdom is the UN. And God's saints are going to tear that apart piece by piece. Babylon, as a type of the United States, leads the UN as the head of the image of the beast. Now watch, in verse 37, Thou, O King, art King of kings, unto whom the God of heaven hath given the kingdom. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, that covers a long ways, right? All over the earth, right? Hath he made thee to rule over them all. Thou art the head of gold. America right now is at its peak influence the world over, over the UN, over the world. And it's looked at as the lead nation. And we haven't seen anything yet, because it will continue to be this way and even more so in the future. In chapter 3 and verse 1, the king of Babylon, by the way, representing the United States, made an image of gold. Now, a lot of people aren't thinking about the United States being the one building this one world image. Actually, we are a one-world image, aren't we? We're the saints of God. We're made as the body of Christ in the image of Jesus Christ, in the image of God. Well, Antichrist is also in a one-world image. And just as there are only two men in the earth, by the way, two corporate men in the earth, Christ and Antichrist. Antichrist is a one-world image. And the people who make up the body of Antichrist are that image. And guess who's at the top? America. The king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura. And Dura is a Hebrew word that means the circle. You know what the Bible calls the earth? The circle of the earth. Look it up. It calls in the Bible that. Well, the gematria for world, if you add up the letters in the word world, it comes up to 600. So what you have is 666. And this image that he set up was an image with Babylon at the top and all world-ruling kingdoms beneath it. All world-ruling kingdoms beneath it in one image, representing all the peoples of the world. That's what this image represented. The scope of this image is 666. It's the number of man. Okay? And he set this up in Babylon. You know where the capital of the UN is? It's in, you know, Babylon was both the name of a city and it was the name of a nation, wasn't it? Well, we have a Babylon that's a city and we have a Babylon that's a nation, don't we? Yeah. And the capital city for our Babylonian Empire is New York City. And that's where the capital for the UN is. Let me point something out to you. In 1 John 4, 2 through 4. First, I'm going to read a verse to you to give you the background here in 1 John 3 and 24. And it says, "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us." The text is speaking about spirits in people. Not talking about demons, but the spirit that's formed in people. In 1 John 4, it says, "Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Is, not has. There's no numeric pattern in the word has there. The numeric pattern is in the word is. "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now, we know Jesus has come in the flesh, but the only flesh that he is coming in is our flesh. And the Bible tells us that also in 2 John, that they went out from among us. Many antichrists went out from the body, and they would not profess that Jesus Christ is coming in flesh. You know, even today, the false prophets in the pulpits do not confess that Jesus Christ is coming in this flesh. They say that we're always going to be just sinners saved by grace, right? My first experience with a man who was having demons cast out of him was in a Pentecostal church. I was there, and this man, I mean, even I recognized in that early time in my life that this man was demon-possessed. First of all, he thought he was a woman. And second of all, he was reading everybody's mind. And if you think the devil can't read your mind, you should have listened to this guy because he could do it. And the devil can read minds. That's a false doctrine, by the way. I knew that very early. But anyway, you know what these Pentecostals said to this man to test him? I don't know why they had to test him. Anybody like that, you ought to know they're demon possessed. You don't have to test them, right? But they thought they'd test this guy. They said, "Say Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." You know what those demons said? "Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." They don't have any problem with that. But the truth is, when you talk to people in the world, their spirit confesses something to you. It bears witness with your spirit. Their spirit either confesses that Jesus Christ lives in them or he doesn't live in them. And that's what this is talking about. "Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God." When you talk to someone whose spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in their flesh, that spirit is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Notice, every spirit, notice very carefully, every spirit is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what the Bible says. Now, we shouldn't add to or take away from the Word, but tradition holds us in bondage many times. Things that we've heard, revelations that people have had. Many revelations, by the way, are dreams. I had a man arguing with me in the last meeting. He said, "Gene Dixon saw this man called the Antichrist." I said, "Are you going to let the Antichrist describe for you the Antichrist?" Doesn't make a lot of sense. So, but I know that well-meaning Christians have had dreams and visions of the Antichrist. But do you know how many dreams have you had that had a spiritual interpretation? So what we have is a word of prophecy made more sure. We have to let the Bible tell us who the Antichrist is. And it does, very plainly. It tells us who the beast is. Most of you are probably convinced that the beast and the Antichrist are the same. We just discovered that the beast is a seven-head, ten-horned image of all nations in one man. All nations in one man. You say, well, David, in the Old Testament, the Antichrist, Antiochus Epiphanes, back over in Daniel. By the way, Daniel, everything that Daniel said about the Antichrist was fulfilled in Antiochus Epiphanes. He did all those things. The point is, in the Old Testament, when you take an individual body like Israel and you come into the New Testament, it's no longer an individual body. Now it's a corporate body. Israel now is worldwide, and it's us, and it's spiritual and not physical. Did you notice? Every other entity, when you take them from the Old Testament into the New Testament, you have to translate them the same way. We saw, for instance, that Jacob is small. How shall he stand? Who was he talking to there? Jacob? No, he was talking to Israel. Israel was a corporate worldwide body, a corporate body at that time. And he still called him Jacob. And he still called Israel, Israel. But actually, at that time, we weren't talking about original man called Israel, but a corporate body of people. And all through the Bible, he talks about corporate bodies. He's doing the same thing in the book of Revelation. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. And it is the seven-head, ten-horned beast of all nations and all peoples outside of Jesus Christ in the end time. Go back and listen to the previous teaching that I gave on the beast, the covenant, the image, and so on and so forth. I laid this foundation because what I'm going to share here, I needed to lay a little bit of foundation for it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Notice, there's only two. There's a spirit that is from heaven that inhabits all of God's people, and there's a spirit from the pit that inhabits all of Antichrist's people. There's only he that's in you and he that's in the world. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Meaning, when we listen to his words, when we humbly submit to those words go into us and recreate his spirit in us. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about a born-again spirit. That's a recreated spirit of Jesus Christ in you. Jesus Christ had his own spirit and the Holy Spirit, right? And we were created in his image. We have our own born-again spirit in his image, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in that. And Jesus told us that there are two men in the earth. And that is, of course, one shall be taken and one shall be left. That is Christ and Antichrist. So, we're looking at a world-ruling kingdom that most of the people of God are not going to recognize. They're going to wait for this man to show up. Watch. As head, the corporate harlot of the United States rides the corporate UN seven-head, ten-horned beast through the tribulation period. Did you ever notice that? The harlot rides her all the way through. The harlot is not destroyed at the beginning of the tribulation period. He rides her all the way through the tribulation period. But it's a corporate harlot. Everybody realizes that the harlot is a corporate body of people. Some people say it's this. Some people say it's that. It's the Catholic Church. Some people say it's America. And I believe it's, frankly, a world body of false religion and America. I believe because God is so big, from the same prophecies, he can show us more than one thing. He is so big. And he's shown me plainly that there is a secular Babylon, a secular harlot, and also a religious harlot. Okay? Well, either way, this corporate harlot is riding on the back of what the Bible calls the beast in the book of Revelation. Now, if that beast is an individual, that's a real heavy woman. You got an individual holding up a corporate body? Nah. This is the beast that we're talking about there is all seven heads and all ten horns. That's the seed of all previous empires together in this last empire because they are now in the UN. All previous empires are in the UN. Okay, Revelation 17 and 1. The great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. And what are the waters? Look further down in verse 15 there. It says the waters are the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So she's sitting on peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And then in verse 3, he tells you that I saw the woman sitting upon the scarlet-colored beast. What is the scarlet-colored beast? Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. We have a parallel revelation here. He wants you to see that. The waters are this beast. They are the peoples of the world, right? Watch this now. An angel told Dimitri that this harlot is the United States. I believe that. I believe she also represents a religious body of people, okay? And yet, she's still riding the beast of the second 3.5 years. This is not the dragon that she's riding on here. The dragon lasts, according to Revelation chapter 12, the dragon lasts for 3.5 years. Then the beast of the second 3.5 starts in Revelation 13. This woman, who's been identified as the United States, is riding on the back of the beast of the second 3.5 years, meaning America is still in prominence, still ruling the world through the second 3.5 years. You notice that? And she's identified as Babylon the Great. Okay? And verse 18 says, "And the woman whom thou sawest reigneth over the kings of the earth." She's doing it now, but we haven't seen anything yet because she's going to continue to do that and worse. The U.S. heads the beast of the nations. I know that this probably comes against a patriotic spirit, okay, in most Christians. But I think we have to be careful for that. Remember what happened to Jonah. His patriotic spirit got him to be loyal to apostate, backslidden Israel rather than the Lord. He didn't have his allegiances straight there. And with most Christians, we have the same problem. Our kingdom is not of this world. Our allegiance is not to America. Our allegiance is to the Lord. We have now joined another kingdom, which is worldwide. A holy nation, Peter said we are. We are a holy nation that covers the globe. And that holy nation is Israel. We've been grafted in to the olive tree, Romans chapter 11, called all Israel. We belong to Israel. And our kingdom is not of this world. In the historic view, the seat of all world kingdoms is alive in the last kingdom. Daniel 7 and 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast. Now we have to remember that Daniel's fourth beast is Revelation's sixth beast, because Revelation went back to two kingdoms before Daniel. Daniel started at Babylon, but Revelation goes back to two kingdoms that were identified before Daniel, and that's Egypt and Assyria. So his fourth beast is John's sixth beast. And it shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, or a sixth kingdom upon the earth. So the sixth kingdom, which was Rome, shall be different from all the kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. The sixth kingdom, he said, would be diverse or different from all of the previous kingdoms. Why? Because of what I told you before. Now God needs a worldwide empire to conquer his worldwide rebellious apostate people. History must repeat. So now what we've got is all of the previous kingdoms are in this last kingdom. It'll be different from all the kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. What does it mean, devour? If you devour something, it's inside your body, right? Well, guess what kingdom in our day has devoured the whole earth? It is the UN, exactly. And it shall tread it down and break it in pieces. This is all coming too. Beasts 1 through 6 were raised up to conquer rebellious Israel. The seventh and eighth worldwide beast, mentioned in the book of Revelation, will conquer worldwide rebellious New Testament spiritual Israel. And as for the rest of the beasts, their dominion, notice this, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, their lives were prolonged. Their dominion was taken away. Their individual ruling of the world was taken away. But their lives were prolonged. And they were swallowed up by this seventh, they will be swallowed up by this seventh and eighth kingdom. Okay? So their seed will be devoured by the Roman clay and iron of Revelation's seventh and eighth beast. Seventh being the dragon, and the eighth being the beast of Revelation 13. Okay? Any objections? I always hear objections to this, and I try to write them down because, people who have objections are there to expand our understanding. And as long as we're making war with scriptures back and forth, we really don't have the truth, because we have to be able to explain the other guy's scriptures, right? So we have a problem. Unless we can accept their scriptures and fit them in with ours, we really don't have the truth yet. The Bible says the beast was slain and his body was destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. And people say, well, you see, it is an individual, because his body was slain and he was given to be burned with fire. No, watch. The body of Christ on earth during the tribulation period, there will be many martyrs. As a body, when these people die, their body is slain. Their corporate body is slain upon the earth. It's destroyed upon the earth. But they go to heaven, right? They go into the kingdom. The beast is just the opposite, because he's Antichrist. When his body, corporate body, is slain upon the earth, it will be given to be burned with fire. Revelation 17 and 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition. The beast comes out of the abyss. We're not talking about a man coming up out of the abyss. We're talking about a spirit coming up out of the abyss. In Daniel 9, 26 and 27, it talks about the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the end thereof will be with a flood. What city did they destroy? They destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And people think, well, that was talking about Titus, who brought the armies, the Roman armies in there and destroyed. No, it's not. Watch. The next verse says, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. So the people of the prince that shall come destroyed the city, and 2,000 years later, he makes a covenant with many for 1 week. We don't have any men around that are 2,000 years old, do we? Okay. So what we're talking about here is a spirit from the abyss. Because in the rest of the text of Daniel there, the next chapter, it talks about the chief prince, Michael, the archangel, chief prince of God's host, and how he wrestled with the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. And that's all talking about principalities. We're talking about demons. See? We are ruled by a spirit from heaven who inhabits us. They are ruled by a spirit from the pit that inhabits them. Their spirits have been recreated in the image of the beast. Ours have been recreated in the image of Jesus Christ, right? And they that dwell on earth shall wonder, they whose name hath not been written in the book of life, when they behold the beast, how that he was and is not and shall be present. I asked the Lord one time, Lord, which one was and is not and shall be present? And he told me, all of them. All of the previous empires were, and then they weren't, but they are present. And they are present in the last one. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name hath not been written in the book of life. As members of the Antichrist body, they worship his spirit from the abyss that inhabits them. And as members of Christ's body, we worship his spirit from heaven that inhabits us. It says, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name hath not been written in the book of life. A lot of people make the point here that he couldn't be all the people on the earth, since all the people of the earth worship him. But stop and think about it. We worship Christ, and we are members of his body. Whether they know it or not, they worship Antichrist, and they are members of his body. They have come into the image of a spirit from the pit. Like Jesus said, you are from below, I am from above. We are coming into the image of the Spirit from heaven. So, as members of Christ's body, they worship his Spirit. You know, when you came to the Lord, you probably noticed that people in your own family who you had affinity for, suddenly there was a break there. You know, and the reason it, and sometimes you wonder, why is this? At least when you're young in the Lord, you wonder why this is. The thing is, there's a different spirit there. And these spirits are as opposite as Christ and Antichrist. So as members of Christ's body, we worship his spirit from heaven, and he inhabits us. That way we can be members of his body and still worship him. And they can be members of the Antichrist body, and they still worship him. Matter of fact, all the people of the world, you can't get them to agree on anything, can you? And it says, all that dwell on the earth shall worship Him. How are you going to get all the people of the world to worship anybody? It's not possible. Unless you're talking about the Spirit that's been recreated in them. They worship Him. So, the U.S. will rule the Middle East and the Christians. Watch carefully. As with Babylon, the leadership of the United States will be possessed with the heart of the beast. Daniel 4 and 16. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Let his heart be changed from man. Now, you know, the framers of our Constitution realized that we didn't need a king like England. So what did they make? They made a corporate king. That's right. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. You remember, I remember watching an article some years ago about the Jews, how that before Hitler took over, how that they had such peace with their neighbors, and they were so shocked when all of a sudden all of their neighbors turned against them and hated them and turned them in and did all these things, and it was just a sudden shock to them to realize how a spirit like this could take over nations, you know. And the anti-Semitic spirit is not natural. You know, it is supernatural. And the anti-Christian spirit that is going to take over America is not natural. You won't be able to understand it from the outside. It'll be supernatural. And let seven times pass over him. Times in the Bible is, you know, in the book of Revelation, time, times, and a half a time is 3.5 years. Times are years. And God hid here the 7 years of tribulation, that actually our corporate leadership will lose their mind as far as persecuting Christians. And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You know, the field, Jesus said, was the world in his parables, right? And the beasts are the distinct kingdoms of the world that are joining together. Thou shalt be made to eat grass as an oxen. You know, Peter said, all flesh is as grass. What is America doing right now as the head of the world? Right now, she's devouring much flesh. Right now. Hundreds of thousands of people have died at the hands of America recently. And seven times, that is 7 years of tribulation, shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You understand the whole world's going to get this revelation after the tribulation period because the Lord's going to come. The timing is perfect. The executive branch, which is our king, you know, in the New Testament, the executive branch is going to lose their mind and is going to guide America in a very wrong way because of this anti-Christian spirit and bring much persecution against the Christians. In Jeremiah 27, 5 through 8, I have made the earth and men and the beasts, and I give it to whomsoever it seemeth right unto me. And now I have given all these lands. And in the text, he's talking about the Middle Eastern lands. I've given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Again, now we're talking about the executive branch of the United States. Okay? Into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. My servant. Well, obviously, America is following right down the steps of Babylon in conquering these nations. These are the exact same nations that Babylon conquered, and America's doing it now. That lets you know that these prophecies are talking about America. And God is going to use America to bring these nations into subjection as much as you can bring them into subjection. And all the nations, that's the beast kingdom, shall serve him. All the nations shall serve Babylon, America. And his son and his son's son, that can be three terms, three presidents or three terms, until the time that is of his own land come. And that is after the 7 years. Remember, he lost his mind for 7 years, right? And after the 7 years is the time of the land of America's judgment. And then many nations and great kings shall make him their bondman. That's the time of the fall of America. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, will I punish with the sword, famine, and pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. We see it happening. We saw the Balkans go, you know. They wouldn't submit to America, and America brought them down. And Afghanistan, the same. And Libya, through a little different means, but the same thing. And Iraq. America is walking right down the road of Babylon. And God has given authority to the United States to conquer these nations for a purpose. Not because they are righteous, but because he has a purpose in raising up a one world order, all for the sake of the saints. In Jeremiah 25:9, I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And as you know, the U.S. conquered Iraq, and we are the king of Babylon, both spiritually and physically now. The king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof. Well, in the text, he's speaking of natural Israel. Now remember, whatever happens to natural Israel is also for spiritual Israel. They are a type and a shadow for worldwide corporate Israel. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, now these things happen unto them, natural Israel, by way of example. And the word example there, many of your Bibles have a footnote. The Greek is by way of a figure or a type. Everything happened to natural Israel by way of a figure and a type. Okay, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And he's talking to the church here. So everything that happened to them is a type and a shadow for us. Right here, where it's talking about natural Israel, we should plug in spiritual Israel, because that's the revelation in the New Testament. And that's the church. And against all these nations round about. So God's going to bring Nebuchadnezzar against the people of God and against all the nations round about. That's the nations that are now Muslim nations surrounding Israel. And I will utterly destroy them. And they're doing a pretty good job of that, aren't they? We can see that they're following right down the line here. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now watch. I got a word of knowledge right here one time. When I read this 70 years, the Lord said to me, 7 years. 7 years. And I'll explain that. But notice that all these are going to be brought under for 70 years or 7 years. Now, Babylon brought the people of God under for 70 years. And actually, at the end of 70 years, apostate Israel was destroyed at the end of 70 years. But in the book of Revelation, the apostate church is destroyed after 7 years. When God speaks to Babylon, and when he speaks to natural Israel, he speaks in terms of 70 years. But when he talks about the United States and spiritual New Testament Israel, he speaks in terms of 7 years. There's a lot of proof of this. Okay? Again, the harlot fell after 7 years in the book of Revelation, but the harlot of apostate Israel fell after 70 years. So the Bible says, except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. Revelation chapter 18 and 24, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that have been slain upon the earth. Again, we're talking about America here. Dimitri had the angel appear to him and tell him that this harlot was America. America is leading the nations and leading the nations in the direction of bringing both natural and spiritual Israel under and into persecution and tribulation. Jeremiah 25:15-26. For thus saith the Lord, take this cup of the wine of wrath at my hand. In the text, he's talking about bringing Babylon against the nations to conquer the nations. This is the wrath that he's sending to the nations in the text, the destruction by Babylon. And cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and reel to and fro and be mad. You wonder why at the end of the tribulation period the 10 kings rise up as the heads of all the nations of the earth and come against the harlot and destroy her and burn her with fire. Well, here it tells you why. It says they're going to be mad because of this cup of the wrath that Babylon, as a type of the United States, is going to bring to the world. And we are just looking at the beginnings of this. This thing's going to snowball. It's going to keep getting worse. Because of the sword that I will send among them, then took I the cup and made all the nations to drink, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. They're going to feel the pain and the brunt of this and the war of this too. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and all the mingled people, and the kings of the land of Uz, which was Jordan. Notice Jordan's in this too, right? And all the kings of the Philistines, Ascalon, and Gaza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod. These are Palestinian peoples, you see. And Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, their land is the land of Jordan. And all the kings of Tyre, and the kings of Sidon, which is Lebanon. We haven't seen Lebanon have much to do with this war yet, but they will. Dedan, and Tema, and Buz, which is Jordan, and all the kings of Arabia, that's Saudi Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled peoples that dwell in the wilderness, that's the nomadic tribes that don't necessarily have nations, and all the kings of Zimri, which is Syria. You want to know if the United States is going to go after Syria? That's a fact. And all the kings of Elam, which is Iran. You want to know if America is going to be involved in a war with Iran? Yes, they will. And all the kings of the Medes, which is the Kurds, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another. And all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, that's the beast kingdom. And what is America trying to do? Is drag all those nations into a war, into the Middle East, doing everything they can to bribe them to go in there. And the king of Shishak, which is another name for Babylon, as a type of the United States, shall drink after them. So after conquering all these nations and keeping them under for 7 years, then Babylon will fall after the 7-year tribulation. This vision was received by Dr. Samuel Doctorian in 1998 on the Isle of Patmos. An angel appeared to him and said, "Harvest time has come in Israel and the countries all the way to Iran. I saw those countries in a few split seconds, all of Turkey, and those, I believe it was, Middle Eastern countries here, that have refused me and refused my message of love shall hate each other and kill one another. And I saw an angel raise the sickle and come down on all of the Middle Eastern countries. I saw Iran, which was Persia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, all of Georgia, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, and all of Asia Minor full of blood. And I saw fire, nuclear weapons used in many of those countries." You want to know what's going to cause the world to put the dragon together? Well, stop and think about it. What has caused the world to make one world orders before? World War I put the fear in people so that they decided we need to make a man of peace. So they made the League of Nations. And after the League of Nations, it was such a failure that World War II came along. And after World War II, they decided they needed to give a little teeth to their League of Nations, so they created the United Nations. Okay? Every time terrible wars happen, they decide to make a new world order. And now, the dragon's coming. But he's coming because of all these nations that America is going to stir up, because the terrorists are stirring up America. And so, what we see here is what is going to bring the new world order. That's what we see. Nuclear weapons will be fired in many of those nations, and the world will fear. Why will the U.S. do this, and what will be the results? Habakkuk also talks about the fall of Babylon as a type of America. "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, that marcheth through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs." Think about it, folks. We've got to have God's opinion about these wars and what's going on. Patriotism can cloud your thinking, you know, because we're on America's side. Remember, patriotism was in Germany at the time of Hitler. The churches sided with him because of patriotism. All nations have patriotism. It's not a Christian spirit, folks. You know, our allegiance is to the Lord God. The Holy Spirit would have us have His opinion. Jonah had a problem because he didn't have God's opinion, right? Well, our opinion should be that this is a bitter and hasty nation, and we know why they're bitter and hasty, but they're going to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Why bitter and hasty? Well, Muslim terrorists will continue to strike the United States, leading them on a rabbit chase through many nations. Many Americans blame radical Muslims for such attacks as the Murrah building. Well, I do. I believe that they had something to do with that. Flight 800, there were like 900 people saw it get hit with a missile. So, and they tried to cover it up for the sake of the economy. But it happened. And the Bible code does say that it was shot down by a missile too. And West Nile virus, they're blaming that on Saddam Hussein. So, I mean, you can see why the United States is being motivated. The people are getting behind the government to go over there and do this thing. And it's going to continue. The indictment below is painted on the side of an Iraqi building by U.S. forces. Why we are here. And their reasoning was the Marine barracks in Beirut, Pan Am Flight 103 in Lockerbie, World Trade Center, Khobar Towers in Dharamsa, the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, the U.S. coal, the World Trade Center in New York, Pentagon, United Airlines Flight 93, the terrorists keep hitting, and America is now ready to go out and go into foreign lands and do these things. And by the way, 911 stirred people up to get right behind the government. Yeah, we need to go do this. Yeah, we need to do it. But now people are getting a little apathetic about it, you see, backing off. So what's the next thing that's going to come? Another attack. And then everybody will be behind them again to go and do it again. And far worse, biological and nuclear atrocities are coming at the hands of terrorists in America. Far worse. Millions are going to die at their hands. And that's what's going to drive America to be that bitter and hasty nation that marches through the breadth of the earth. The following description of Babylon's attack on the Middle East is also a good description of the United States' war against Afghanistan and Iraq, and following that, it's going to be a good example of that. In Habakkuk 1 and 8, their horses are also swifter than leopards. They are fiercer than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Yea, their horsemen come from far. They fly as an eagle. That's right, as an eagle that hasteth to devour. They come all of them for violence, and the set of their faces is forwards, and they gather captives as the sand. Remember in Iraq and Afghanistan how they gathered captives as the sand? And he scoffeth at kings, and princes are a derision unto him. He derideth every stronghold. They did. They've cast down every stronghold they've come to so far. And he heapeth up dust and taketh it. I can, in my mind, I see the pictures of the bombings that they did in Afghanistan and Iraq and the dust that flew, and it just really fits the picture. Then shall he sweep by as a wind and shall pass over and be guilty. Notice that. God says that Babylon, as a type of the United States, is guilty. Even he whose might is his God. You can't kill hundreds of thousands of people without being guilty. I don't care what reasoning you give. Think about our Christian reasoning that we're supposed to have. You cannot do that without being guilty, and you cannot sow that without reaping that. That's the whole point. He whose might is his God, they weren't going over there to conquer China or Russia. They went over there to conquer nations they could conquer, and they knew it. See? So might is right, right? See, they're not listening to God. We're the ones that have to listen to God for them. We have to bring the gospel to them. We have to help them to have a renewed mind of the Spirit. Most of the church doesn't. Most of the church is right in there with them, behind them, to go kill. Go kill. This is the way. This is the way to save us. But the Bible says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. God's got a better way. in a way that wouldn't cause us to be guilty. Speaking of Babylon as a type of the United States, God says in the same text, "Yea, moreover, wine is treacherous, a haughty man that keepeth not at home, who enlargeth his desire as Sheol, and he is as death and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations." That's America, folks. "And heapeth unto him all peoples. Shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe unto him that increaseth that which is not his?" How long? Well, we know how long. We just saw how long. They're going to do it, and they're going to bring the nations under and keep them under for 7 years. That harlot's going to ride that beast for 7 years. "And that ladeth himself with pledges." Well, every time America goes into another land, they laid themselves with pledges from the nations of the UN that will join with them. They bribe them any way they can bribe them to go in there with them as a coalition. This time it was very obvious. And so they went into Afghanistan and Iraq and the rest of the nations, they're going to do the same thing. That's why she's a harlot. She thinks she can bribe everybody. You know, the U.S. is taking these lands in order to be delivered from these attacks and the possibility of far worse. And Habakkuk tells us about this. "Woe unto him that getteth an evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the hand of evil." Take these lands, then we don't have to worry about them fighting against us, right? That's the idea. But God calls them guilty for doing this. He said, "Thou hast devised shame to thy house by cutting off many peoples," hundreds of thousands of people since Iraq, you know, since Afghanistan, "and hast sinned against thy soul." Although God is using the United States to chasten the Muslim nations, who are, by the way, chastening Christians and Jews all around the world and killing or all around the world, they're still guilty for doing this. He's using them as a vessel of dishonor, not as a vessel of honor. Because vessels of honor in the New Testament, as you know, don't do these things and they don't kill people. After the 7 years of captivity, the conquered nations will rise up to destroy and plunder the United States. "For they that live by the sword shall die by the sword." Verse 7. "Shall not they rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booty unto them," that is, plunder unto them. "Because thou hast plundered many nations, all the remnants of the peoples." Literally, that's what the book of Revelation says. All the remnants of the peoples shall plunder thee. Habakkuk is in agreement with Revelation. "Because of men's blood, and for the violence done to the land, and to the city, and to all that dwell therein." That's God's opinion about what America is doing. Covert war to weaken the United States for destruction. There are three major Muslim groups that are given credit for destroying Babylon is the United States. Jeremiah 51, "Make sharp the arrows, hold firm the shields. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it." Can you imagine that there will come a time that God's purpose will be to destroy America? Because America is going to do exactly what Babylon did to the people of God. That's why. God gave the people of God into the hand of Babylon for persecution, but then, when he was through with that persecution, he destroyed Babylon. His purpose is against Babylon to destroy it, for it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. See, God is going to take vengeance on Babylon because of what they did to his temple. They destroyed his temple. And we are the temple now. The beast is going to make war on the saints. And who's at the head of the beast? Who is the head of gold on the image of the beast of all nations? America. The Medes, among whom are the modern-day Kurds, are found in Turkey and Iraq and Iran and Syria and Armenia and Pakistan and Afghanistan and beyond. Very spread out group of people. Isaiah 21, 2, another group of people. "The treacherous man dealeth treacherously, the destroyer destroyeth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, Elam was the father of the Persians and is found in Iran and Afghanistan and beyond, and also allied with the Medes to destroy Babylon. And another large Muslim group, Arabs, they ambushed the plains and the World Trade Towers. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 51, set up a standard against the walls of Babylon, prepare the ambushes. It's really strange that the word ambushes here is the Hebrew word Arab. And so, and exactly what they did is ambush the United States, and they're not through yet. And Arab means to lurk or lie in wait for. Kind of fits them to the T, doesn't it? Verse 13, O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, the measure of thy covetousness. These terrorist groups are ambushing the United States over and over to bring down the economy and to weaken her for a final ambush by a Russian-led confederacy of nations. The ancient bear of the Medes and the Persians, now a major Muslim people in our day, are uniting with the modern bear of Russia to conquer the Babylonish lion with eagle's wings. And this is going to perfectly repeat history. Early on my birthday, February the 4th, 1998, I awoke, and as soon as my eyes opened, I was staring through my ceiling and out into the sky. And I saw a nice blue sky, and I saw written up there in the sky a symbol, and it was written with very dense clouds, the symbol was. And what I saw, at first I thought it was the hammer and sickle of Russia. And instead, as I looked at it more closely, I saw that the sickle did not have a handle on it, and that it was a hammer and a crescent. And you know what a crescent is, right? It's on all the Muslim flags, right? And at that time, I knew that Russia was going to make agreement with the Muslims against America. And the vision blinked out, and then it came back in. And when it came back in, it was as if you took an eraser and went around it and erased little places out of it to make it dashed, you know, like a dash all the way around. And I asked the Lord what this meant, and He told me it meant a year and part of a year, solid and partial, a year and part of a year, that the Russians would make an agreement with these Muslims to attack America. And by the way, that agreement was just in time to execute, to plan and execute 9-1-1. In fact, on the day of this vision, it was reported that President Yeltsin said that if the U.S. bombed Iraq for stopping the inspections, it could trigger a world war. I don't think anybody understands exactly how right the man was, because that's what we've started on. The world war that we're talking about, of course, is going throughout the Middle East. Okay, we're not talking about what we've been taught, you know, that is that the next world war will be Russia coming down to attack Israel. That's all false. It's all traditions of men. This is the world war that's going to bring the new world order, the one we're in right now. And the Russians at that time were angry, and they're still angry. That they just the other day, Putin was saying when America stuck their nose into what happened in this attack in the school over there, he said, America needs to remember that we still have nuclear missiles. Well, that was very upfront, wasn't it? They're angry that they're being ignored and being given advice as a superpower by America. And as such, they decided to soften up America covertly by using these militant Islam and to war against the economy. And there were many signs of this. I read articles after 9-1-1. I read articles that were translated from the Russian newspapers and about conferences that were happening in Russia, and they were warning all of their people to get their money out of the American stock market because an attack was imminent. An attack that would destroy the economy was imminent. They knew about it before people in America knew about it. The Russians and the Chinese made an agreement to combat the military superiority of the United States. Quote, this was 5 years ago. They made it. They came out and made this statement that that's why they made an agreement with one another. And they are using the militant Muslims to war against the United States, and they're going to remain relatively safe from retribution because they're doing it covertly. And it was the Chinese, by the way, that came up with the World Trade Center idea. The Chinese military manual named Unrestricted Warfare was translated by the CIA 3 years before 9/11, and it said, whether it be the intrusions of hackers, and they are attacking our economy through this means right now, the intrusions of hackers, a major explosion of the World Trade Center, or a bombing attack by bin Laden, all of these greatly exceed the frequency bandwidths understood by the American military. Isn't that something? Two of those were joined together, the attack on the World Trade Center and a bombing by bin Laden. And they think that the Americans can't understand this. Well, after they translated Unrestricted Warfare, they at least did then. Admiral Thomas Moore, former Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, said that Unrestricted Warfare reveals China's game plan in its coming war with America. And Major General John Singlob, former Joint Chiefs chairman, said, the 9/11 attacks may just be the beginning. Many terrorist nations and groups will try to imitate this operation, and China's war book, Unrestricted Warfare, will be their text. Brian McAdam is a former Canadian Foreign Service officer who worked with the FBI to identify 3,000 U.S. companies that are fronts for the China Secret Service or have financial links to Al-Qaeda. And he said, only now are Western intelligence agencies becoming aware of the links that the China Secret Service has with drugs, money laundering, and the support it provides for terrorists. They're never going to dry these people up, folks. They're going through all the normal channels to try to dry these people up, but the superpowers are behind them. They're not going to dry them up. And he said that we're talking about billions of dollars going into their hands. Senior PLA Colonel Zhu Junping, who defected to the United States in 2000, described meetings between bin Laden and the China Secret Service to discuss their investment plans. And Richard Hansen, who spied for the KGB, sold the Promise software, which is used by U.S. intelligence, to the Russians, who sold it to bin Laden, enabling them to secretly move money. So they're letting these people do all the dirty work and sitting back and letting it go.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.